We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Daryl, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hi, Daryl.
Doing all right, man. I mean, listen, nobody would have been surprised. None of us would have been surprised that the Browns lost this week, but to get beat up that bad was pretty disheartening, don't you think?
Not a great first impression by Kevin Stefanski, I'll say that. Second worst loss by a Browns head coach making his debut. Worse loss than Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Lose by 32.
What was Freddie Kitchens?
Lost by 30 last year to Tennessee. The only difference between Freddie Kitchens and Kevin Stefanski, 10 fewer penalties and nobody got thrown out yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know that he did it. I don't know that the 2 points matters. Both pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Palmer lost 43-0 to the Steelers in the inaugural expansion game back. And unfortunately, yesterday, the Browns looked like an expansion team still. I mean, you know, it would be nice if they would get it together one of these seasons. You know, like you said, it's only one game. It's too early to make any judgments or, you know, paint with a broad brush.
Right.
But they have a lot of stuff that they need to clean up in a very short amount of time. And, you know, the Ravens are going to be a team they're going to have to deal with for years to come, obviously, being in their division. Lamar Jackson is a spectacular football player. I didn't expect the Browns to win yesterday, but I will say this. I did not expect them to lose by 32 points. I did not expect such a lackluster performance, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the defense has issues. We knew that. They're beat up. Shorthanded. It's a work in progress on that side of the ball. But for this offense to look that terrible right out of the gate, that's not a very encouraging sign. But a lot of football to be played still.
Yeah. Daryl, is this a byproduct of the camp that we saw?
Absolutely. At least in my opinion, Dustin. Yeah, obviously I can't speak in definitive terms. You know, Kevin Stefanski, we asked him. No excuses. No, it's we just have to play better. Same thing from the players, and I respect that. Like, you know, that's, you know, and you know that, Dustin, as a former player, those are things you're supposed to say. But let's be realistic about it. I mean, the offense was struggling throughout training camp. You know, they were doing the installations in late August, early September there. So I expect some bumps in the road, and we had talked about that, you know, throughout camp. I didn't think it was this bad, though. That's what concerns me. You know, Baker Mayfield's accuracy is still off. Force feeding to Odell for air. The tight ends not incorporated as much in the passing game. They still don't seem to know what to do with Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb together. And again, yeah. I say all this understanding, it's just four quarters of football. They're still figuring some stuff out, but that was it was an eye-opening debut. And again, they got a lot to clean up, and it's probably a good thing that they got to play Thursday night so they don't even dwell on what took place in Baltimore.
I'm not convinced that Odell's being force-fed. We keep saying that, and I think the reason we say it is because he's not playing well. If Odell had 17 targets and caught 13 balls for 150 yards and two touchdowns, we wouldn't call it force-feeding, you know?
Well, he didn't have a lot of targets in the first half, and then boom, out they come out of the locker room, and all of a sudden he's getting the ball thrown his way. So I don't think that was a coincidence.
But you should be getting him the ball, And but they got to make plays. Baker's got to make a better throw. Odell's got to make a catch. It's not bad that they're throwing to him. It's bad that they're not completing the passes for whatever reason.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, no one's complaining if those are 10 straight completions. Paul, you're 100% correct. And, yeah, I mean, Odell's not playing well. The Ravens clearly got between his ears and got under his skin yesterday, just looking at some of the body language on television from him. And, you know, that's something he's got to watch, too. You know, I'm in Odell's corner. I want to be very clear about that, but you got to watch the body language, man, because, you know, opponents pick up on that type of stuff, and they'll use anything they can to an advantage. And I'm not sure what the Ravens were saying to him, but whatever it was bothering him. You know, he picked up a couple flags. One, you know, that stiff arm face mask that he had.
That was brutal. That was an easy call. He pulled his mask for like
a minute. It was the right call.
He
dragged his head down.
Yeah. And then the other one where he went out of bounds and didn't reestablish himself before he caught the football.
Yeah,
and
bad too.
You know, just, you know, some mental errors there. So he himself has to be sharper mentally in that respect.
Daryl, let me. Well, go ahead, Bull. Yeah, I know you want to follow up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just real quick, because Daryl brought something up, and it was a good point because we hadn't really talked about it today. Guys, both of you. You talk about mental errors. You mentioned specifically that other penalty on Odell. We didn't get to that one. Bad job out of us. When Odell steps out of bounds, it wasn't like he was pushed out of bounds. It wasn't like he kind of he was being lazy on that play. He was not hustling, and he was just being kind of casual and lazy on that play, and that's why he went out of bounds, and that cost him. I'm glad you brought it up because it was the one. I think it was the only thing for this game that was important that we kind of forgot about, and it was worthy of bringing up. Good job out of you, Darrell. What, am I unfair here? Both of you, what do you think? I thought that was on him totally.
I think it was on him, no doubt.
Yeah, I think it was on him, just like the third down drop was on him. And listen, drops happen. You know, I'm not criticizing the drop because drops do happen, but you got to bounce back from that, right? You got to have a short memory. And unfortunately, that drop was followed right up with that missed 41-yard field goal that was a mile wide, right? So, you know, especially in that first half. Again, like we see so many times, and I feel bad for dipping into the same old Browns well here, but it's what we see time and time again with this football team, regardless of who the coach is, regardless who's on the field playing, is this snowball effect that once things start going in an adverse direction, it just snowballs on them. And it happened again yesterday. And, you know, again, I just like this team to be coached by somebody and to play where we stop seeing the same stuff over and over again. I, again, can live with the loss to the Ravens. They're the better football team. You made a bunch of changes in the offseason. The deck stacked you couldn't prepare the way you wanted to, and it was out of your control and all those things. But, my goodness gracious, man, it'd be nice to, you know, it would have been nice to come out with a few moral victories yesterday from that game with the Ravens. And I can't think of any moral victories from that game. That is a complete wipe the board clean, forget it ever happened.
Yeah. Daryl, do you think there's any chance, let's say the Browns start, you know, 0-4 or 1-3, you know, maybe they don't play well. I'm not trying to you know, have this vision of them playing poorly, but, you know, we know how last season started.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that, like, Case Keenum could be playing at some point?
Man, you know, Dustin, I mean, it's a fair question, and I hate going down that rabbit hole, but as I told Ken and Anthony this morning when they asked me about it, it's like, you know, I'm fighting myself right now not to fall into the trap of getting overly concerned about Baker. You know, we talked about they've not done him any favors organizationally with, you know, him having to reset the button every single year that he comes back. He's not had an opportunity to progress multiple years within an offensive system, and that's not his fault. Now, the accuracy stuff, yeah, you could say that's his fault. I think protection yesterday up front, Dustin, was vastly improved from what we watched last year. You know, Kevin Stefanski mentioned today he thought the protection was pretty good. I'll just say this. I would like to see Baker Mayfield play better. And I don't think that that's unfair criticism, and I don't think that that's picking on him or saying he's not the guy. I think he needs to elevate his game. It's what the great quarterbacks do is they elevate those around them, and I'm not seeing Baker do that. And again, I understand the mitigating circumstances of he's probably thinking about his mechanics that were changed this offseason. He's probably, you know, thinking and checking and double checking the verbiage and the terminology and the calls and things like that. I understand all that, but I do feel like this is the year he's got to step up, Dustin. There's no question about it. He needs to play a heck of a lot better than he played Sunday afternoon in Baltimore if this team's going to have any success, because they put talent around him. You know, you can't say he has no toys or no playmakers around him. He does. It's on the coaching staff to figure out how to use those toys and those weapons, and then it's on Baker Mayfield to take that and translate it to the field on Sunday and produce, and hopefully, you know, he's able to start to get things on track starting Thursday night when the Bengals come to town.
Dangerous Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. Darryl, Austin Seibert, here's what I don't understand. When you cut a starter after 1 week,
right,
makes me scratch my head. It's like if you had so little faith, and I know he had a bad game. I got it. But if you have so little faith in him, why was he your kicker yesterday?
Yeah, and you know, I was a little surprised that they cut him today, especially considering what Mike Prefer said last week when we asked him about Seibert. And he's like, hey, he's my guy. You know, we only brought Cody in as COVID-19 insurance just in case something happens. And, you know, we don't have the ability to bring in a kicker late in a week. And then, you know, here we are. He misses clikes an extra point off the upright and then, you know, misses that field goal. That's 4 points. So instead of losing 38-6, they should have lost, you know, 38-10. Maybe that's a momentum change type deal, and maybe the game doesn't get its way as much as it did. It's butts, candy, and nuts, whatever. But I'm surprised that they made that move today, although based on Kevin Stefanski's reaction yesterday, when he just matter-of-factly threw him under the bus and said, yeah, he's supposed to make those kicks. I expect that he makes those kicks. I probably should have had my antennas up and expected a change come. But, you know, Parkey was here back in 2016. You know, he was like at something like 20 of 24 on field goals. I think he missed one extra point that year. Browns didn't do a lot of scoring that season, as we remember. They don't do a lot of scoring most seasons, as we remember. But especially that one, they were pretty low. And then his career numbers are fairly good. So you're right, though. You know, why is he your kicker if you're gonna lop them off after one game? But, you know, that might be a little bit of a sign that, hey, there is a sense of urgency with this football team and this organization that, hey, pressure's on. They got to start winning football games. This is not a, you know, multi-year rebuild. We're looking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. No, this team, quite frankly, is built to win today. And it's unfortunate the circumstances here in 2020 are what they are and that they have had to deal with what they had to deal with. But you know what? I watched a lot of football yesterday. A lot of people dealt with the same stuff the Browns have dealt with, minus, you know, installing the systems this year. And I watched a lot of really good football yesterday, a lot of clean football. So, you know, the Browns got to get it together here in a short amount of time so they can hopefully get this season on track and start making people happy by putting some W's up on the board when they play.
And think about this, guys, both Darryl and Dustin.
Yeah.
It was 53 weeks ago that the Browns opened. The season started on September 8th last year. So 53 weeks ago, as the Browns were getting ready to play that Sunday game against the Titans to open last year, if on that morning you would have asked any Browns fan and most Browns media about John Dorsey, you would have said the guy's the best GM in Browns history already after 1 year, right?
In the expansion era, yeah, absolutely.
Right. Like, and now, 53 weeks later, if Baker Mayfield ends up being a bust, he's going to go down as just as terrible as the rest of them, right? I mean, you think about it. He traded a high draft pick for Tyrod Taylor. He traded a lot, it turns out, a first-round pick for Odell, who to this point has been a disaster, even though we loved the idea, and I loved the idea of the trade. And you look at his draft picks. If Baker's a bust, you got Chubb, obviously great, and Denzel Ward has been pretty good. The rest of the 2018 draft was useless. And the 2019 draft to this point is completely useless. So
all of a sudden you're off the Dorsey train.
I'm saying if Baker ends up flopping, that's all he's got. At this point, if he gets Baker, it's still a win. because even though he's done a lot, but if Baker ends up being a flop and the Odell trade ends up being a flop, then his tenure was a disaster considering how much in draft capital he had to work with.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. And I admit, I mean, I think a lot of the John Dorsey hype was it just felt good to have somebody who seemed competent in the chair, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big part of it. Here's what I'm concerned about. I'm starting to get concerned a little bit about Baker, even though I'm trying to resist that temptation.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about Odell Beckham Jr. fitting with what they want to do going forward. I don't know if it's a fit. It's starting to look like they're not going to end up getting much out of their draft classes, considering the capital they had to play on. And then guess what happens? Same old Browns, right? Wash, rinse, yep. Repeat. And that's a little frustrating to think about.
Fortunately, it's only one game, but if they lose to the Bengals, ooh, Friday's going to be ugly. Darryl, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Sounds good, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.